Psalm chapter 122 and verse 1. Psalm chapter 122 and verse 1. David wrote, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Praise the Lord. Can somebody testify with David? "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be in His presence. I'm thankful for His goodness. I'm thankful for the power that I feel. I was glad when they said unto me, it's time to go to church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to preach to you just for a few minutes now. Welcome to church. Turn to somebody, tell them, welcome to church. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We welcome you to the house of the Lord. We're so thankful to have a place where His Spirit meets us and He changes us, and He, it's a place where iron sharpens iron, and as God's people gather together in unity, welcome to church. Praise the Lord. I wonder, would you just believe with me today that God would bless us, that God would bless this church, that God would help us to reach this city, that God would make a way for there to be miracles and signs and wonders. Come on, it's His church, Lord. Just bless your church. Bless your church, Lord. Help us to be the church you've called us to be. Help us to see the revival, Lord, that you want us to see. Help us to do what you've called us to do. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the church. I pray today that we're thankful for the house of the Lord. The church is not just a place of tradition. Many people, that's what church has become to them. It's become a place of tradition where they go and they go through certain rituals and certain practices, and it's you know, you've got to do this many prayers and you've got to do this and that. But church is more than that. The church of God is built on a foundation that never moves, that never changes. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I'm not wanting to freak anybody out here tonight, but let me just tell you, we are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual war. We talked about fasting and prayer this week, and thank God for a church that believes in fasting and prayer. And sometimes we think, well, I'm fasting, so that means everything's going to be good, everything's going to be great. Yeah. You probably fought some battles this week that you hadn't been fighting, because the enemy doesn't like it when God's church gets to fasting and praying. I believe it was early Friday morning, maybe it was early Saturday morning, and I was sleeping good, folks, and I don't know what time it was, maybe about 4 o'clock, 4:30. All of a sudden I had a dream. Now, I guess I dream from time to time, but when I wake up, I don't ever remember my dreams. When I do remember my dream, it's usually something special, okay? And so I'm dreaming, we were in church. It was our church, but it wasn't our church, okay? You know, I knew it was our church, but it wasn't this building. It wasn't these chairs and all of that. And there was somebody there in the church service that, like I said, I don't want to freak you out, but we are in a spiritual battle. And this in my dream, I knew that this person was possessed by a demon, okay? Now, I don't want to get off. This is not the subject I'm going to include today, but I just tell you, if you're in the church, you're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, you're living for God, you can't be possessed by a demon. Anybody that tells you that, they're not in the Word, okay? If you have a spirit of infirmity, does not mean you're possessed by a demon. You just have a spirit that's attacking you, and there's sickness that could come from that, and we'll teach about that later. But what we're just saying today is, I don't care what it is, God can give you victory. Amen? And so Thursday or Friday or Saturday morning, early, I was sleeping, and and dreaming, and all of a sudden there was this person, they were in our church, and it was obvious that they, I just knew that they were possessed by a demon, okay? I went to pray for them. I was not afraid in my dream. I just had a boldness and an assurity that God was going to take care of it. And so I went to pray for them, and I don't even know if I said anything or what, but I don't know if it was a woman or a man. It was weird. I thought it was a woman, but then I don't know that that's important, but I think it was a man. I'm not sure. But it was as if something opened from this person, opened wide. Have you ever opened a furnace and poked your head inside? And intense heat just knocks you back. The sound that went with it. Some of you have used a torch in plumbing, cutting different things like that, and you know that. The sound, it was a little crazy, and the sound and the intense heat, it was so hot, and it hit me. It was so hot. This is not in my notes, but it's where I feel like to tell you, just to kind of tell you where we're at. It was so hot that I felt it in my sleep, and it woke me up. And I'm like, whoa. Wasn't scared, but I was like, something's going on. Something's going on. Folks, I want to tell you that we are in a spiritual battle. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, okay? The things of darkness. That we know this church believes that, okay? Not everything's a spirit, but some things are. Here the church has been fasting. Here the church has been praying. Here the church has been pushing forward. Here the church is seeing people come to the church and they're being delivered of the things that they were bound by in sin. The enemy is not happy. The enemy is not excited about that. He's losing people from his army. He's not excited about that. He's taking notice. He's taking notice. I sent it to a couple of my minister friends and said, hey, just a little something happened. And one of them texted me back and said, the enemy is taking notice that you are standing against hell, and that was hell that you were feeling. The intense heat. Now, I was not scared in the dream. Okay, I was not scared of what we were dealing with, but I was encouraged that somehow hell has awakened. That means something's happening that's good. Hey, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But I can tell you, hell has taken notice. Amen. That means we need to push a little harder. That means we need to pray a little more. That means I need to fast a couple more days. That means I'm going to keep preaching revival. That means there's more people coming that they need this experience. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've come to encourage somebody today. You might be feeling the heat of a battle, but it means that something good is about to break loose. Don't you give up. Don't you turn around. Don't you give up on God. He's saying, I'm about to do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy when you go through a valley. Count it all joy when you face the enemy. Count it all joy when you come under attack. Joy, yes, joy, because that means God's up to something good and the enemy's not happy. Hallelujah. Thank God for the church. It's founded on a foundation that never moves. It never changes. The Word of God. The Word of God. Anytime that there's confusion or misunderstandings, disagreements, whatever, between people, I want to tell you where the answer is. The answer is in the Word of God. When we start reading the Word, sometimes it can cut. You ever had it happen that you're reading the Word of God and you read something? Maybe you've read it before, but all of a sudden it's like it jumps out at you and, ooh, it hits you. Yeah, it resonated. There was something there that I needed to see, and God showed it to me in His Word. But the church is not founded on what I think or what you think. The church is founded on the Word of God. And I'm thankful today. Church is not just some extra thing that we can choose, well, if we want to add it or not to our life. No, the church is a gift from God that is vital to our spiritual health. Hallelujah. Is the church perfect? Of course not. After all, the church is made up of people. Everybody say, I'm a people. I'm a person. None of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. So, of course, the church is not perfect. But I tell you, the church is the best thing going. The church is the best thing going. Hallelujah. I commend you today. I commend you for making it to the house of the Lord. I commend you for saying, I know it's Labor Day weekend, but I'm going to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know it's not easy sometimes to make it to church. Some of you've got young children, and I know it's difficult to get them all up and get them ready. And some of you might be a little older, and you might live a little distance, and maybe some of you work nights. You might have worked last night, or maybe you're fixing to go to work today. But you made up your mind to be here. Like David, you said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to teach you parents just a little bit of something. And this is not original with me. It came from two parents that, you see, when I was a kid, I had a drug problem. And I don't say that making light of people that really had dealt with drugs, but I got drugged to church. I got drugged to prayer meeting. I got drugged to youth service. Brother Sean, I don't care what was going on. I got drugged to youth service. I got drugged to work day. Nobody else was there. I was going to be there because I knew I was going to get drugged. So I had a drug problem. It was the best problem you could ever have, Brother Forgy. But I want to give you a little help, parents. Build your family. Build your life around the church. Around the things of God. Around the blessings of the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. There ought to be something inside of us that says, I know that there's other things going out there, but I've got to get to church today. I've got to have the presence of God today. I've got to feel the love of Jesus. I've got to feel the warmth of His Spirit. Hallelujah. I pray that God blesses you for your commitment today. Lord, I pray you'd let there be an extra special blessing on those that are here that have been faithful. Bless them in your going in and your going out. Bless you in the city and bless you in the field. Amen. God let your blessings overcome them. Come on them and overtake them, the Bible talks about. Amen. When the blessings of God are given to someone, I don't care how fast you run, the blessings of God can come on you and overtake you. Praise the Lord. I told the story how one time I was preaching a revival over in Dexter, Missouri, and that thought came to me, and I thought I was going to use an example, and so I picked out the biggest looking guy on the front row, because I thought surely I could run faster than him, and I was going to use the example of him. I said, take off. So he started running. I was going to be the blessings of God, and I was going to chase him and overtake him. Little did I know. He was the star football player on the varsity team or something in that little country town. And here he takes off, and I'm like, whoa, what happened? And he could take those corners. And finally I was like, dude, slow down. I got back up, tried to preach. I was out of breath. But the blessings of God, if they decide that they're going to come on you and overtake you, I don't care how fast you run. God's saying, that's my child. I pray God blesses this church. I pray God blesses you families. I pray God blesses you young people. Let the blessings of the Lord come on you and overtake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessing to be a part of the kingdom of God. What a blessing to be a part of the family of God. And so I think of David. Maybe he sung this song on the way to the tabernacle. And we've already talked about there was no temple in his day, but he knew there would one day be one built, and he was planning, he was preparing for it. But to him, the house of the Lord was a tent, and they put the ark there of the covenant there, and everyone could come close to the ark and feel the presence of God and worship him. David instituted music into their worship, and many of the psalms are written for the tabernacle of David. And oh, what an exciting thing it must have been, because they'd heard of all that God had done, and all how the priest would go into the temple one time a year, and he'd go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood upon the Ark of the Covenant, but they had never seen it. They'd heard about it, they'd imagined it, and but they'd never experienced that. But here they are, they're able to gather around. They're able to get close to the presence of God. They're able to feel the touch of God, the glory of the Lord. And if you study what happened there in the tabernacle of David, much of it looked like our worship today. Instead of animal sacrifices, they made a sacrifice of praise unto God. They clapped their hands and sang praises. They lifted their hands. They shouted. They danced. They worshiped. They played instruments. They sought the Lord. The tabernacle of David was a symbol of the modern day church, where not just the priests can enter, but every single one of us can come before the presence of Almighty God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, if you're in time of need today, I encourage you to come before the throne. You don't have to approach shyly. You don't have to approach carefully. You can come boldly before the throne of God. Amen. There's something about a child that comes to a parent and says, I need help. I need your attention. I need you to work and move. And when we come with a heart like that to the Lord, to our Father, he's not going to push us away. He's not going to ignore us. But he says, I'm going to meet your need. I'm going to touch your family. I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to set you free. So imagine with me today, David the king on the way to the tabernacle. He's excited about what was going to happen at church, and a little song gets in his heart. And he starts singing, I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they told me it was time for church. I was glad when somebody said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Coming to church made David happy. Coming to church made David joyful. David was going to get close to the presence of God. Going to church is not just entertainment. No, we're not going for a show, but we're going because we want to be close to Jesus. I know that there's a lot today that are out there in the world, they're missing out on the joy and the happiness that going to church brings in their life. Because they don't ever go to church, or maybe they go for the wrong reasons, but they're missing out on that joy. Amen. There ought to be something that happens on Sunday morning when the alarm goes off and we think, oh, it's time to go to the house of the Lord. I might be tired from a week before. I might have a lot of stuff going on today, but I'm thankful I get to go to the house of the Lord. And as we come to church, I have a few questions for us. There's some things that each of us should ask ourselves as we are welcomed into the house of the Lord. First of all, what did we leave behind? As we came to church, what did we leave behind today? Think about that. What did we leave behind? There's so much that should never be brought into the church. I'm not talking about muddy shoes or pets or chewing gum. I mean, is that still a thing? They used to tell us you can't bring chewing gum, I guess because they'd stick it on the pews. Well, that's probably still a good idea. Don't bring chewing gum in here. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about some more concerning things. Hopefully today we left hate behind. There's no room for hate in the house of God. 1 John 4:20 tells us, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? If hate is in our heart, then do we really love God? We're all different. Sometimes different personalities clash. But we work through those differences. And if we're brothers in Christ, we go to our brother and we make it right. There's no room for hate in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, what's something else? We better have left prejudice behind today. One of our church members sent me a text last week and said how thrilling it was to look across the church and see so many different colors of skin and different backgrounds. That looks like revival. That looks like revival. Praise the Lord. Jesus loves every race, and so should we. In fact, when we're in the church, we're all one. So we'd better love our brother. We better love our sister. There's no room for hate. There's no room for prejudice. I hope we've left that behind today. What's something else we should leave behind? I hope we've left behind gossip. I hope we left behind gossip. Now, I'm the pastor. I know we got guests today, but I've told you, no church is perfect. Every once in a while, we got to deal with some stuff. And young people, we can't be gossiping. Older people, we can't either. But let me talk to the young people for a little bit. God's bringing revival to this church. There's people here that were not here a year ago. There's people here today that weren't here 2 months ago. Some of you might be your first time ever here. As new people come in, they're watching. Because we're supposed to be the example of what the church is supposed to be. Brother DJ, I love you, man. Good to have Brother DJ back. He's at Evangel. Amen. Praise the Lord. He brought his friend with him this year, Jeremiah. It's good to have him here. Amen. They're going to Evangel. I'm believing God for mighty revival in the students of Evangel. I want you to be praying for that, okay? Last year, we had a whole bunch of students that would come, and they were just hungry for the apostolic move of God. One of them, though, kind of fell off, and I tried to call and tried to text and just hadn't got any response. And then months later, just a couple months ago, I tried again and finally got a response that this was somebody else's phone now, but they would pass along the message. And so this person called me back or sent me a text. Anyway, we did talk, and I think we were in the car riding together, and this person called me and said, well, I wanted to let you know I loved your church, and we love you and Sister McCoy, and it was just so exciting to be there. She said, but I was there, okay. I was trying not to let it, if it was a guy or a girl. But anyway, they said, but you might want to know this. A lot of times it seemed like the youth group were talking about one another. And they said, it just got to be too much for me. That broke my heart. That broke my heart. And I called my kids in. My wife and I talked to him, and I said, I don't know that you're doing it. I don't know what, but that cannot happen. That cannot happen. I hope we've left gossip behind today. I want to tell you something. Gossip can get to working. God hates it. Causes confusion, causes discord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Paul was saying, don't let there even be a hint of that. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Sometimes we can get a little carried away in our talking and our joking. We need to reel that back just a little bit. Realize these are souls that we're dealing with. Verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We've got to walk in light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I was a young person once. I still am pretty young. So I understand the temptations, the trials, the mistakes. Your pastor's wife understands the temptations, the trials, and the mistakes. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We've all got to overcome temptation. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we make mistakes. But we don't need to be talking about it. Young people, young adults, I give you permission. The next time you're sitting around a table and somebody says, well, did you hear blah, 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 you say, nope, nope, nope. Pastor said no. We're not talking about that. Next time you hear some juicy stuff that somebody did or some whatever, you don't even know, and it might have been the telephone game down three or four or five times, and now it's blown up, and you say, nope, nope, we're not going to talk about that. I am going to put that out right now. I'm going to put that fire out. I'm going to be water. I'm going to be water. I'm just going to pour it right on it, right there. Because we got people coming to the church that they got issues. We've all got issues. We don't need everybody talking about everybody's issues. And, well, did you know what they did? And no, we need to go forward and live in victory. Now, some of these things that I read here, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, you know, all these things, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Okay? We believe in proper accountability. All right, if you are struggling with something, you need to find some spiritual help, okay? And you need to get them to pray with you. But don't go talking to everybody about it. Don't share all the details. You can let them know in general and just find you one or two good godly people that you know, but don't be going talking in the youth group. Well, you know, all of this kind of crazy. No, we don't need to be discussing it and thinking about it. When we come to church, there's some things we should leave behind. Okay? But on the other hand, When we come to church, what did we bring with us? There's some things we should bring. Of course, we ought to bring our Bible, yes. Amen. We should bring our family. We should invite somebody to come with us. But beyond that, what do we need to bring with us to church? I hope that we've brought an open heart and an open mind. I don't want to sit here all closed off to what God's trying to do and say, well, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. I need to say, Lord God, I'm open for whatever you want to do and however you want to move. Let your word work on me. Let your spirit move in me. Lead me, Lord. God bless the pastor to preach the word. Lord, let the Holy Ghost move in my heart. I'm open for what you want to do. Somebody today, I hope you brought an open heart and you said, God, I want you to have your way in me. Praise the Lord. I hope today that we've brought a prayerful heart, that we've prepared our heart with prayer. If we come into the house of the Lord and we haven't spent time in prayer, then there's a wall that's there. There's a hardness that's there. But when we go to an altar and we repent before the Lord and we say, God, I need you. I need you to work in me. I need you to help me be what you called me to be. And then we come into the house of the Lord. There's a freedom of worship and to receive from God. I hope we've brought a prayerful heart. This sermon is not about giving, but I hope we've brought a gift for the King. Our tithe and our offering. I always try to bring something to give when I come to church. It might be text to give, or it might be cash or check or whatever, but young people, get in the habit of bringing an offering. I can remember it was something special when I was a kid and my parents would give me a little something to give and here's a quarter or here's a dollar maybe. And I guess today that'd be like a $5 or $10 bill. But bring something. Giving of our finances opens the windows of heaven. And I don't know about you, but I need the blessings of God in my life. Not only in my finances, but in every area. Then what did we come for? A lot of people go to church because it's the accepted thing to do. Well, you know, it's the proper thing to do. I want people to think I'm a good Christian, so I'm going to go to church. But what did we come for? I hope we came today to worship God. I hope there was a heart inside of us that said, I'm glad because I get to go to the house of the Lord and I'm going to worship him. Amen. I'm not just concerned about what I'm going to get, but I've come to give him praise. I've come to give him glory. I hope today that we've come to serve. Serve? You mean you actually want me to serve? No, I thought this was all about me. No, it's about others. This church is about others. We're reaching others. We're helping others. We're blessing others. We're praying for others. I hope we came ready to serve. I hope we came ready to learn. God, I want to learn more about your kingdom today. I want to be more like you. And then number four, lastly, what will we take away? What will we take away? Somebody today, you came without hope. And I just pray that God instills in your heart a hope that, yeah, maybe you don't understand how everything's going to work out, but you've got a hope that whatever happens, God's going to make a way. Amen. I just wish there'd be a little somebody in some hope start to rise up in somebody's heart that, yeah, my situation might be bad. I might have a lot of trouble and a lot of brokenness and a lot of sorrow, but I feel hope today in the house because Jesus is able to make a way. I hope that we're going to take away a little peace today. Because, yes, there's a lot of anxiety and fear and trouble out in the world. But the peace of God passeth all understanding. There's something about when I don't understand how I can have peace, God can give me peace. I hope that we're going to take away a little joy today. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Brother Caleb, I need a little joy to help me make it through this week. I need a little joy to give me strength. I need a little joy to bless my heart. The good news, I hope we take away the good news. What's the good news? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the answer for people out there in the world. It's healing. It's peace. It's deliverance. It's joy. It's a newfound hope that they can't find anywhere else. Matthew, would you stand with me in closing today? Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We need to be praying that. We need to pray the Lord of the harvest. God, send laborers. Send workers. We got people to reach. We got people we got to pray with. We got people that they're new babies in the Lord. And what happens with the new baby? Well, they got diapers and they got to be fed and they've got to be taken care of. And they wake up in the middle of the night and it's new babies in the Lord. We need laborers. We need workers. If you're not involved somewhere serving here at the Experience Church, let me tell you where you can serve. Help somebody become strengthened in the Lord. Teach them a Bible study. Reach out and just send them a text and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. You can make it. I was once where you're at, but I hung on and I came through and you can do it too. Hallelujah. There's a good news today. Jesus went about preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. He healed sickness, every sickness. He healed disease. He cast out demons. He did whatever it took to set them free. He was moved with compassion on the people, though, and that's got to get a hold of our heart. Because as wonderful as the church is, as glorious as it is to come before the presence of the Lord, we've had that experience today. There's been worship, there's been praise, there's been excitement, there's been joy. As great as excitement we have about coming to the house of the Lord, we can't keep it a secret. Brother Andrew, you know people that need this. Amen. Sister Brandy, you got family, you got others, you know people, they need this. They need this. I could go on down the line. Don't keep it a secret. Don't keep it a secret. But I'm looking forward to the day that you bring a whole family with you. I'm looking forward to the day that you bring a whole group from work. And we can all say to them, welcome to church. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome to the joyful experience of the presence of God. Welcome to the power of healing and hope and goodness. Welcome to church, somebody. Come on, I wonder if you'd gather around this altar today and say, Lord, I'm so thankful for the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm thankful for the church today.